And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Benched with Bubba, episode 852. We're here on a Monday afternoon to recap your week 8 in Fab. We're over a quarter of the way through the season, just cruising through this season, Ben, which is crazy. But we're going to recap the Fab spending, most added, some drops, our ad drops, the usual suspects, and much, much more. Before we get to that, you can find me on Twitter at BDentric, and my co-host, as always, on Twitter at BreakingBen_T Bentit. How are we doing, my friend?
Doing pretty well, Bubba. Had some late breaking injury news that you informed me of, so thank you for that. Nathan Eovaldi has some side tightness, I believe is what you said. Yep, so anyone listening live, or before 8 o'clock Eastern on Monday, the 11th, make sure you get Eovaldi out of your lineups probably. Sounds like an oblique to me.
Yeah, it does sound like an oblique, which, yep, happy times all around baseball when we get that kind of fun stuff here. But that's what we do. It's a shame, though, because like you said, it's a two-step week that's gone now. But, we'll see where it goes. Obviously, they'll have to do imaging and whatnot. But the late scratch, it means it sounds like it was like a warm-up thing, potentially, as things were going, which not always great. Hopefully, it's just a minor tweak. Maybe it's like, you know, Tarek Skubal, where they had a brand-new procedure done on his arm that they've never done before because they wanted to rush him back as soon as possible. Like, the more things that come out of this Skubal story, I don't know. And it's ironic. For those that know the inside jokes, John Heyman is doing all the reporting on this, just so you know. Just keep that in mind as well. And Tarek Skubal is a free agent next year who has a prominent agent. So just kind of put all the pieces together to see where this one takes place. But, Ben, we're not going to do any news. We've been kind of skipping news lately on this show. I got everybody covered on the Patreon. Come over there. But we have a ton to talk about in Fab once again. Eventually, one day, someday, it may slow down because as last year, we used to kind of do half a show of kind of like different strategy topics and stuff. But we haven't had time for that right now, Ben, because it's been blowing and going. Week 8 Fab recap time here. So I'll give you the floor. For those that are new to this, we use Ryan over on the Bubba and the Bloom Patreon, created a Fab tracking tool that gives us for main events and online championships. We discussed that. We use the NFBC ad drops as well to correlate it all together, page all together. But we're also going to talk money spent this week, Ben. So I'll give you the floor when we look at this. What stands out to you with the money spent this week?
All right. We'll start with the OCs since that's kind of the focus of the show. So year to date, the remaining balance per team is $540 on average in the OCs, 12 teams. Last year, that was $566, so we're ahead of spend on average in the OCs. And that difference of $26 was kind of actually made up or was seen this week in week 8, the start of week 8. Because this year, we spent $58 in the OCs on average per team, where it was $35 last year. So kind of things stayed high because we were coming off of 76, 86, 56 the previous 3 weeks. It's actually been above 50 every week since the first week in the OCs, which is saying a lot. Whereas we can't say the same for the main event, which I kind of find a little surprising. I feel like the OCs don't spend as much as the main events, but here we are. It's different pattern this year. And then just to cover the main events, we're at 570 balance per team on average this year, so $30 more than the OCs. But that's even ahead of last year, which was 583 remaining per team. And but despite that, there was more spent this week at $67, which was also about $20 more than 2025, which was 48. So actually a little bit more of an increase for the 67 this week in week 8 versus week 7 in the main event, which was 57. So, and I was kind of mentioning to you quickly, but looking at the tracker as we'll go through the number of ads, a lot of ads in the main event, a lot of players added in a lot of minutes, I should say. And the OCs aren't as many 100s, it looks like, because I know we kind of go off the 100-plus ads as a definite coverage on the show, but there's definitely some. So another busy, busy week.
Yeah, no, well, yeah, we usually start at the top of the list and work our way down. Very, very busy. I want to say it was my AC, which, you know, you can kind of compare to a main event in a roundabout way. There was a ton of even like $1 and $2 guys. Like you're starting to just fill the holes in the dam, basically, if that makes any sense. So you're going to see a lot of that. Whereas in OCs, it's sad to say, but hey, it's three fewer teams, so you'd expect a little less action. But people start just disappearing at times in these 12s compared to the main events and the ACs. You'll see a lot more activity. Like, and I like all the formats. Play whatever works for you. This isn't me clowning anything, but like, Michael Cecchini in our Discord. We were kind of going over Fab results last night. Everyone was like talking about who they got and in the chat and everything. I think he mentioned he got some player that I can't remember, it was Eldridge or Walshman or whoever, who was like super popular. We'll talk about them obviously today. Very popular ads this week. He got him in a 12-team standalone league unopposed. Yeah, that just kind of my point of you never know. Like, you never know. It's just a goofiness out there, but you'll see a little bit here and there to see where it goes. And Yancey Eaton's in the chat here to assert his chat dominance before Uncle Ted. Uncle Ted's been MIA since I kind of put him in. I put Baby in the corner a couple months back, and he has not been back. So it is possible, contrary to what Swayze says. All right, let's get to it. Let's talk about the most added players this week in Fab. As you mentioned, we usually start at the top, go to the bottom, because we kind of want the 100 pluses. And in OCs this week, it was 2, 4, 6, 8, only 10 players over 100, as you mentioned. And just to be fair in context for the main event, there's 60 main event leagues. There was 2, 4, 6, 7 players added in all, or of 50 or more main event leagues, which is honestly a lot compared to what we talked about lately, because usually the people are kind of trying to get ahead of the curve over there, and more players are available over there, where in 12, they probably weren't drafted and dropped so on and so forth as often. So it kind of makes sense that a main event doesn't have as many of the big ads. So they had plenty, to your point as well. Enough of me. Let's get to the top. Ryan Walshman. This is the guy that I was most interested in this week. Well, one of the most interested in this week. Did not get any shares, unfortunately. But he was added in 232 online championships. Ben Waldy was added for a max of 311, a min of $9 whopping dollars on average. $90 in OCs was spent on Ryan Walshman, outfielder for the Arizona Diamondbacks. On the flip side, 58 main events, so 2-2 leagues. Someone got him super cheap already, which could be really nice. We'll see. Waldy went as high as 239, as low as 68 main events, average of 143. That was the highest average bid outside of a pitcher we'll talk about pretty soon in all of Fab this week. Walshman's played 2 games. Some say he strikes out too much, Ben. We'll see. But what's your thoughts on Ryan Walshman as he joined the Arizona Diamondbacks?
Yeah, based on his minor league numbers, I wouldn't say he strikes out that much, Walshman, and definitely can't say much from 2 games. So, yeah, he was – I think I had him on almost every team's bid list, or a bid list for every team, Walshman. The problem is, though, is I've been spending a lot start the year like most people have, and I knew I probably wasn't going to be competitive with my bids. So I was actually – I think my highest bid was the minimum win in the main event, which is $68, just going off of memory. So I was going to be – out of the running on Walshman, unfortunately. Great 2025 in the minors. He had 18 home runs, 29 steals, 289 average. That was in low, it was in A, high A and double A. So at least he wasn't in the PCL doing that, but still lesser competition. Had a good start in the PCL this year, 34 games, hit 3 homers, 6 steals, 289. So kind of a similar pace to what he did in 2025. But, well, and also, too, they legit cleared a path for Walshman in Arizona by DFAing Alec Thomas. So as long as he does relatively well, I think Walshman will be around for a while. So he's probably one of the safer prospect bids you would see besides a pitcher potentially. So I can't really fault anyone for paying up for him. It's just not something that I could do. And we'll have to see how he does. No transition's ever certain for a prospect, whether it's a pitcher or a hitter. So that's why I wasn't too upset that I didn't get Walshman anywhere. But good profile, especially if you need speed. Not as much power as I feel like I'd rather go for a little power heavy right now just to secure those homers, because it's still really early in the season. I'd rather attack speed a little bit later if I do need to. But seems like a good prospect. And like I said, the playing time should be there for a while.
Yeah, the fact that they just flat out DFA'd Alec Thomas, and you know, honestly, probably rightfully so. That said a lot to what was taking place here. Our good buddy Martin Sikulski, who helps us out in the Discord and the Patreon with minor league stuff, does his own awesome Substack and works a pitcher list as well. He's been all over Walshman. I've had him on in the offseason talking prospects. That's one of his favorite potential prospects this season to have an impact in fantasy. So I've had him circled in some DCs already. I've been waiting for that call up to take place. I'm excited about it. The first night, because Friday he was traveling, so I'm not reading into that. Saturday got the start, not the best. Did get, smoke one late in the game, but then on Sunday looked pretty darn comfortable at the plate. And he's young. He's going to have his ups and downs, but there's a power. There's a speed skill set there. A lot of good contact. Pretty pumped. And love the kid's attitude. Erod on Sunday had a no-hitter going late in the game. And Waldschmidt made a catch running into the wall. And someone after the game said, did you notice the wall was right there? He saw something along the lines, just phrasing. Yes, there was a no-hitter in play. The wall wasn't going to stop me. It's pretty much what took place there. I'm like, okay, I want that kid on my team. That plays, given, you know, we've seen a couple wall accidents this week that didn't turn out so well. But Waldy actually fought the wall, and Waldy won this week. But, yeah, I love this pickup. I think it's a great pickup. Out of all the players this week outside of maybe one other hitter, like hitter-wise, this was the top move. I just didn't pony up enough, I guess would be the answer. All right, this is a great one for you to hit on here, Ben. The second most added player in online championships week this week, Spencer Jones of your New York Yankees. Spencer Jones picked up in 200 online championships, so he's still available in a chunk of leagues this week. As high as 251, as low as a dollar, average bid of 44. He's picked up in 56 main events, as high as 256, as low as 21, average of 70. We kind of talked yesterday in our little text thread about Spencer Jones. Like, you had your bids in on him, and I just kind of said, I'm kind of out. I could be totally wrong. Like, I understand the power speed is insane. Great numbers in the minor leagues. Denying none of that. His swinging strike does concern me a little bit. And it's a big if. Whenever Giancarlo and or Dominguez get back, what do they do? He could force the hand. That's fine. So that's a lot of what ifs, which maybe I should have just said screw it and went for it. I don't know. What's your thoughts on Spencer Jones? I was just the profile scared me just enough, but maybe the power speed should have kept me in. I don't know.
No, you're not alone. I just ran through my bid list real quickly as you were introducing Jones, and my largest bid on him was $34. And I did not come close to that, which I'm fine with. Try not to be a biased Yankee fan here. Actually, well, I know the issues with Jones because I am a Yankees fan. And in his minor league in AAA this year, sure, he had 11 homers, 7 steals, 41 RBIs, crushing the ball, 258, but he had a 32% K rate. And that, it's been like 29% or higher every year since 2023 in the minor leagues for him. His swing strike rate, I think, is pretty abominable too in the minors. It was 20%. So I want him to do awesome for the Yankees, no doubt about that, but fantasy-wise, I just had very low expectations that he would do anything that would allow him to stay in the lineup. And I believe he had 5 strikeouts in his short time already. He has 10 at-bats, 5 strikeouts, so 50%, or 10 plate appearances, that is, 50% strikeout rate so far. Had a nice hit, but it was a hanging curveball or slider, whatever it was, for his first major league hit. The power and the speed's there, but there's a chance that the swing and the miss just keeps his average, luckily, like 240, 230 at the highest probably. And I don't know who – well, his playing time probably is a little more assured now that Caballero is out with a finger injury, and Caballero could play the outfield if Jones did struggle enough. But if you want him to at least do well, Jones, while he's in your lineup, and then the K rate could just tank your average. And he's DHing tonight, Jones, so he's going to play while he's up, I think, pretty regularly. There's no platoon issue. He's a lefty despite that. But, yes, I just couldn't go that much money on him. And you kind of alluded to it. Giancarlo's hurt. Dominguez is hurt. I think there's somebody else who's injured as well, potentially. But it's a temporary call-up. I doubt he would overtake Stan's spot in the lineup. Yeah, it's just Stan and Dominguez, but I don't know. It feels like a trap to me, so that's why I didn't really want to bid too much money on him.
Yeah, it's one of those, like, there's a lot of players week in, week out when we recap this. And I'm like, yeah, I have my stand. I'm not even going to bid on them. It's fine. And I usually feel pretty good about this. Jones is one of those. I'm just like, this could backfire. Only for the fact that the skills, I think, are great. The swing and miss is what I said scares me. Stanton still isn't even doing baseball activities yet, which is like, okay, we're back to, you know, peak Stanton right now at this point in time. Crushes baseballs for the 70 games he plays. Dominguez is the wild card in this whole mix on how that plays out. But yeah, I'm wondering how it goes here. Now the thing, you kind of buried something there, and we didn't talk about it last week, and it's on me. But you said Caballero could play the outfield instead of Spencer Jones. Would that mean Anthony Volpe be playing shortstop, Ben? Like, are you saying Anthony Volpe is going to be called up to play shortstop? Or how we, because we didn't discuss, again, on me, that Volpe gets activated from the IL and gets sent straight to AAA. If people are watching on YouTube, the smile on Ben's face might be the biggest I've seen on this show. So is that what you're trying to insinuate here?
That would have been the scenario, Bubba, yes. That if Spencer Jones is that bad, they move Caballero to left field or wherever, and then Volpe plays shortstop, which...
I had to get to that. Yeah. I had to get to the X, Y, and the Z part of that one, yes.
Yeah, I'll play along, yeah. That is a possibility, but hopefully the Caballero injury isn't too bad, because he's been great for them. I was writing him off as... because of how much love the Yankees have shown Volpe over the course of his career so far. I thought there was no chance that Caballero would be in Volpe's way, but I was wrong. So I'll admit that. But yeah, there's an avenue for Jones to lose out without San coming back or Dominguez coming back, but you'll have to wait and see what happens with the finger with Caballero. And I think Volpe's struggling in AAA as well. I haven't really looked too much, but based on what I've seen, it hasn't been the best run of games for him since he's come back.
It is pretty nice, you know, especially as a Giants fan, I take all the small grains of salt I can, but to your point, the Volpe move, just the Giants actually, like, you know, sending Ryan Walker to AAA, stuff like that. It's like, it's good to see the team actually make the smart baseball move instead of the, hey, these guys are, like, you know, proven commodity moves. That's it's nice when they at least attempt to do these kind of things. And that's where the Volpe move stood out to me, because it is the right move to make, to your point. It's just, there's so many teams, or even the Yankees in years past, probably would have been like, nope, that's our guy. He's healthy. Like, so it's nice to see. All right, the third most added player in online championships, and this is the player that I got a lot of shares of this week. This was the one outside of Waldy that I was interested in, and he cost less than Waldy. That's Zach Geloff of the Sacramento Athletics. He was picked up at 192 OCs, as high as 57, as low as a buck. Average of $20. Picked up in 32 main events, already widely rostered there. As high as 89, as low as 30, average of 52. Those are more my price wheelhouses, Ben. But he's hitting 274, three homers, two steals, 26% K rate, which is down from years past. He's carrying like a 9 or 10 game hitting streak into the full week in Sacramento, playing third base. He's going to gain that eligibility to go second base and outfield potentially. There's a lot of levels of why I like Zach Geloff. I've spewed it between multiple podcasts, writing, and more. What are your thoughts on Zach Geloff? Because I know I could be fool's gold here, but I think it's worth a shot for now.
It is, and yeah, you mentioned the impending third base eligibility. Hopefully, I think he's at 5 or 6. If I set it up, he's at 5 games at third base, so he'll be getting that shortly in an NFBC. What was that?
By the end of the week, we're good.
Yeah. I think he's pretty consistently been playing third base for them because Max Muncy's out, and by no means is Max Muncy of the A's like a roadblock for Geloff if Geloff is doing well, because I feel like they're both kind of the fringe player, and if one takes the job, then whoever that is will run away with it. So if Geloff continues to do well, he could just keep it when Muncy comes back, if he comes back. Power and speed, yeah, you mentioned the strikeout rate, excuse me, is lower for Geloff than it has been in the past, and that's really kept him from, I think, reaching his potential. So if you can keep it 26%, that will go a long way in helping him be a better fantasy player. But only 6 time plate appearances, so it's a small sample, so he has time for it to regress back. Let's check the swing strike rate. It is 12%, which is actually a career best for him, so that'd be good.
His approach is a lot better at this point in time. It's crazy.
Yeah, lowest CSW, highest contact rate, highest zone rate. I think that's like where the pitches are, actually. He's being more selective. His swing percentage is down, chasing less. So, yeah, definitely good improvements so far for Geloff. And, I think I had him in a string kind of along with Jones and Waldschmidt. I didn't get Geloff, though, but that's all right. It is nice, though, that he gets the full week in Sacramento and a pretty good matchups, Cardinals and Giants, and not like the best part of the Giants rotation either. So, good ad for Geloff, 12s and 15s.
Yeah, full agree, obviously, to the points we will make later when we recap our ads. But the hit tool has improved. Could it shift back? Sure. But, like, the thing I kept kind of harping on, besides people calling it like a hot streak, it's like, dude's 26. He's still super young. Who's to say he couldn't have started to figure things out? Like, we've seen the 2020 profile before, and that was in Oakland. Now we have Sacramento. Like, hey, it's 90 plus where I live. It's going to be hot. Like, the Central Valley and stuff for Sacramento, they're talking triple digits this week. So just let's see the ballpark shine. If if you have anybody pitching in Sacramento this week, you've been warned. The ball be flying. The next most added player in OCs, and this is the testament of a week or two later than main events, Ben. JJ Bleday was picked up in 181 online championships, as high as 167, as low as a dollar. Average of 27. He's picked up in six main events. He's been widely rostered. The Reds have three at home versus Washington to start the week, and then three at Cleveland. It's a great set of matchups. It's four righties, three lefties. Bleday's playing versus lefties too. But dude's hitting 262, four homers and a steal. Barely striking out. Like, he looks really, really good. We've seen this in small stretches before with Bleday, Ben. So we kind of talked about him either last week or the week before in the main event section, but anything to add on to right here?
No, I'll say the 27 at-bats last week is pretty eye-opening for him. And you mentioned how he's playing versus lefties and righties. So that's why Bleday is getting all those plate appearances, and he's batting second on top of it, which in any lineup is a great spot. So yeah, it's just the quick nature of the main events, like you said, that people pounce on these guys at any sign of life, and the OCs are more of like a wait and see because of so many players are available. So it's not surprising to see him now. Now, will it stick? That's the million-dollar question. Bleday has his share of being okay. He was a decent prospect. But I pulled up his Baseball Savant right now, and would he qualify? There'd be some pretty high percentiles on Bleday's sliders. But kind of what I said with Geloff, Bleday has even fewer plate appearances, only 51 so far, because he kind of just got brought up to the Reds not that long ago, about 2 weeks ago. So there's time for him to cool off, but this is definitely a ride the hot streak type play. And since they're going to be in Cincinnati for at least the start of the week versus tricky matchup for Bleday. It's Singer, Lodolo, Burns. Lodolo and Burns could be tough for him. Singer, not so much. I think it's that's who they're throwing. Actually, it's even better. It's Michaelis, Irvin, and Foster Griffin is who they're facing. Yep. Excuse me.
It's a beautiful set. At
least yeah, especially in Cincinnati. So yeah, it's a good stream, and maybe six round in 12s. But if you look at Bleday's past history, his best year was 2024. We had 20 homers and 243. And that was like a full year. So a little bit upside, I think, but it makes a lot more sense in 15s and a solid stream in 12s.
Yep. He's got a longer lasting life in 15s. Like you said, 12s stream, but kind of a bench stream. I'd kind of keep him around for when they keep rotating back and forth. Because the Reds and the Rockies are doing the annoying. It's like you play three on the week and three to start the week. So it's never a full week. So Bleday is actually one of those guys that's just perfect to be able to stream for half a week potentially and fill in. So if you can have that roster spot available, as long as he's swinging half decent, he's going to play. Like, people used to do this with Will Benson. I take Bleday every time over Will Benson. The Reds have proven that as well. So don't hate the move. It's just funny. It's a couple weekends after the main events.
Never fails.
Yep. All right. Let's start first catcher off the board here. Jesus J-Rod Rodriguez picked up in 179 online championships. As high as 124, as low as a dollar, average of 23. That is the 75th percentile of less was $33 or less for J-Rod. So it was a very heavy top tier going for J-Rod. In main events, 60 leagues. He's the only player added in all 60 main event leagues, Ben. As high as 129, as low as $3. 75th percentile is $57. So $57 and below for 75% of the ads. I love J-Rod. I felt like I tweeted a lot about him. I had to talk about him a lot in the Discord because I reiterated to the Discord, I like him a lot. Be careful, though, just because Daniel Susak is coming back. So it's just kind of a matter of how long the leash is. And I think it's a split thing, which still makes him a great catcher, too. Not knocking that, but just buyer beware. He's got some power. He's got some speed. Really good hit tool. What's your thoughts on J-Rod?
Yeah, I was a fan. I did heed your warning. I didn't go crazy, I don't think, with my spending. So I only play in the 15 teamers, right? I went unaware. So I was basically right on the average with my Jesus Rodriguez win in my one league where I got him. So I was happy with that. And it was a close bid, so that made me feel even better. I remember. So you mentioned Susak, someone who I never really thought was anything special, but I'm not like plugged into the prospects, and it's your team, so you know them much better than I do anyway. But just seeing Rodriguez's career numbers, he's a 311 career minor league hitter. He sold 21 bases two separate seasons, so he's got speed. And the power isn't really that good, but 10 homers in 79 games in 2024, that could translate to 15 in the majors, at least that pace. So where it was actually the team where I lost Goose for now, hopefully, not too long, is where I added Jesus. So I wanted someone who was just steady plate appearances, it seemed like, because I believe he had been playing basically every day. He only had one day off so far in the six games, and he played right field once. So maybe if Susak does take some time from Rodriguez and they split, maybe baby J-Rod can play in the outfield one day and not be a straight 50-50 like the Cubs is, for example. So I was pretty excited, or not excited. It was a nice, obvious add to replace my Miguel Amaya, who we'll cover. So I was very excited about him. We'll probably talk about Joe Mack. So there was a handful of catchers who appeared this week right when I needed them. And Jesus was top of my list. I got him, so I was pretty happy with that.
Yep, I was loved the guy. I don't think I even got any of these because people are so excited about Jesus Rodriguez. So I kind of limited what I could do. I got a lot more Joe Mack and even one Daniel Susak, which we will talk about later on. But let's get to the next most added player. We're sticking by the Bay, the Giants, baby. Caleb Killian picked up in 135 online championships, as high as 153, as low as a dollar, average of 29, 75th percentile of 34. I just wanted to mention that when it's that big of a difference between the max. Picked up in 36 main events. He was already rostered in a lot of places. As high as 115, as low as 5, average of 44. Ben, I know you're a reliever recon guy. Did you read the closer Cliff Notes today by chance?
No, my version is through the Closer Monkeys, what I look at. So I don't know if he includes those in there.
Okay, so I don't know. So reliever recon, every morning he sends out a kind of Cliff Notes of what went on the night before. And he also has a fab column that comes out every Sunday and so on and so forth. But that's Greg Jewett, for those keeping track at home. I thought I'd mention that. But everybody, first off, I think the way I feel about the Giants bullpen is the way Ben feels about the Marlins bullpen. So just keep that in mind. They don't have a closer. I'd prefer it to be Killian if it was one. But they pointed out a very, very, very interesting stat to me, they being reliever recon. Because, you know, you could do different sample sizes all you want. But since April 24th, today is May 11th, Killian has made 6 appearances. Like him and Keaton Winn are the two best pitchers in the bullpen, and they have similar problems here. Keaton Winn, over those 6 appearances, has a minus 6.1% K to walk. He has an 18% walk rate and a 12% K rate. That's not great. The other thing that stood out, among many things, he has a 6.47 Sierra. Again, small sample for a reliever. I get that, but he's allowed 2 earned runs in the 7 innings, 1 homer. It's not been bad, but a BABIP's 227 with a 44% ground ball rate. So there's just a lot of questions, I guess is a nice way to put it, with Killian. And to see when I saw those, and I was already out on Killian, I know, because I was out on the Giants bullpen, but seeing that made me wonder the consistency of success at closing is very much in the air for me. What were your thoughts on the Killian ads? Because I know it's hindsight now to everybody, but I've been out on the Giants bullpen for a long time.
Yeah, I did have in 2 of my fab leagues, I wanted to, and we'll cover this, I wanted to get like a third kind of spec reliever because my RP2 in those had been Jacob Junis at one point. So I had to replace that, and I have options, but Killian was at the bottom of my list for that RP3 I was looking for. So I pulled up the Closer Monkey recaps, which is another version of reliever recon. Killian, I forget if you said this, but Killian through the 8th inning on Sunday. Yeah. So that's not ideal. And then they even have Joel Pegrero as the top of the committee right now. And Pegrero was someone who's been there since the winter, who I thought could be a spec option in case that Walker did, and he has lost the job. But now they have all these other guys like Killian and Wynn now. So I think my bids were like around $10. Maybe one was $8 for Killian, and maybe one was $14 or $18 where I lost Emilio Pagan. So I yeah, to your point, it was very without Pete Fairbanks, the Marlins do not have a closer. We're welcoming the Giants to that club as well, where they do not have a closer, and I don't expect them to do any time soon, really. So he was the bottom of my list of reliever specs as an RP3, so I was not going to spend high on Killian this week.
And that's where I was telling people, even in the Discord, like, if you have Killian in there, have him towards the bottom. Like, I had him for a buck in certain ones, just like, hey, if all those fails, you're back on the roster, we're going to see what's happening. But to your point, I love the Joel Piguero. Because even in the tied game on Sunday, he came in the ninth. I believe it was either Friday or Saturday night he came in late in the game. They've been utilizing him since he came back from the IL. Now, again, I don't believe there's any consistency whatsoever in that bullpen. And we won't cover Piguero much, but he was picked up in 19 main events, as high as 33, as low as a dollar average of 11. He was picked up in two OCs, a dollar in each of those OCs. So those are those kind of moves that if you want to spec on things, I think the Piguero angle might have actually been the one to do for cheap and see where it goes. I just know whoever you pick up, you're going to be just – because, hey, Eric Miller's rehabbing, should be back in a couple days. So he'll get thrown into the mix as well. It's just going to be a revolving door in San Francisco. All right, the next most added player in NFBC OCs is the return of the Mac. Joe Mack picked up an 127 online championships, as high as $61, as low as a buck, an average of 17. Picked up in 58 main events, so almost every main event, as high as 120, as low as 9, average of 43. Much more in the price ranges that I'm excited about, given if you look like in the main event, 75th percentile and below, very similar with J-Rod. Like, he was in line with what J-Rod was. He was a little cheaper in OC. He's not too far off. So if you take out the outliers in both scenarios, Rodriguez and Mack went pretty close to each other in the grand scheme of things. Where are you at on Joe Mack? Because I already had him for 1 week in Tout Wars, because you can get guys early, and I needed a second catcher so bad. And then I ended up getting a couple shares this week because he's playing every day. So what is your take on Joe Mack?
Yeah, he was – so kind of like with how the average pricing was in the main event, I had Mack right behind J-Rod in my bid list, or in that one bid list where I needed the catcher. And as I mentioned, if someone missed it or forgets, I had Agus and Ramirez in that main event where I was adding Jesus Sanchez. So it almost made more sense to prioritize Joe Mack, I felt like, because I probably will have the Marlins catcher from here on out between the two of them, because I did not drop Agus. I haven't dropped him yet. So from that sense, it made sense, like, where there'd be a clean overlap between Mack being on the major league roster, Goose figures his stuff out, gets called back up. Then based on how Hicks is playing, Liam Hicks, he would stick around at some capacity. And then probably Mack would go back to AAA, or I don't know what they would. I did tell you I could see a path where all three could play. There is a path where all three could play if Ramirez gets called back up, but. So from that angle, it kind of made more sense if someone had lost Agustin Ramirez to go after Joe Mack. But J-Rod's numbers were better than the Myers, I thought. Mack's got more power, no speed, significantly worse average in the minor leagues. But 20 homer power from a catcher in the minors is pretty good. So I was definitely in on Joe Mack. But because of what I said about Agustin as well, it seems like, and with the Giants trading Patrick Bailey away, yeah, you're weary of Susac coming back to take plate appearances away from J-Rod in San Francisco, but there's an open road for J-Rod to play the rest of the year, whereas Mack has Liam Hicks, Goose. There's a lot of options at catcher in Miami, so that's why I think it made sense for J-Rod to be ahead of Mack, but I still think Mack's a solid plug and play if you're desperate at catcher, which there's not much out there, especially in 15s, and I'm not sure how 12s are. Maybe it's still relatively bad right now, but
it's not great. It's not great.
Yeah, everyone's suffering then. So yeah, Joe Mack, he was a great ad. I thought he had 20 at bats, I believe, in the first week, which you love to see from a catcher. To your point about him playing every day, so I don't think you could have gone wrong with either one, really.
No, that's kind of where I felt with it. It's just a combination of, do you care about playing time, or do you care about what do you care about with the two? And I was going J-Rod, Mack, Susac, and everywhere I needed catchers, and I ended up landing on Mack most of the time, just based on pricing Was happy any direction I got it there. And, you know, some people are tremendous believers in Mac's offensive skill set, and he hasn't even tapped into it yet. Some it's just he's a defensive guy that can hold his own. And honestly, as a catcher, too, in a 15, that sounds great. Sign me up for that right now. So we'll see where that plays out. And I think as long as his defense is where it's expected to be, I don't see Mac going anywhere anytime soon. That's why they called him up, and that's why Goose was in AAA, is because of his defense. So we'll see how that plays out, because, hey, there's no bigger Goose fan in this world probably than me. There probably is, but you guys know what I'm trying to say. So it was painful. I dropped Goose this week. It was very painful, but it was just a necessity. And I hope he comes back and makes me rue that day that took place.
Before we move off, so PJ mentioned in the chat that Goose is being groomed for the DH, but didn't the report say like they want him to work on his catcher defense?
Yeah,
it could be a lie. So I don't know what to believe, honestly.
The initial reports where he's going to AAA to only catch and work on his defense, do nothing else, which seems foolish, because if you already know you have Mac, who's this good, who's also young, like, why wouldn't you try to shift Goose somewhere else? Like, it just doesn't make sense to carry two of them on the roster, but what do I know? Like, Liam Hicks is already at first, so Goose is built to DH. I totally agree on that, but I don't see how it works with the initial statements they made. It looks like he's only caught so far since he's been in AAA. We'll see if that shifts. And maybe they want his defense to be good enough so when they do call him up, he DHs but can fill in if needed for a day off for Mac. I don't know. But it's just a very, very weird situation right now. All right, next most added, 12-team, Ben Brown. This is one that I struggled with all weekend, and maybe I should have been more excited about it. 125 OCs for Ben Brown. As high as 177, as low as a buck, average of 30. He was picked up in 7 main events, already widely rostered. As high as 118, as low as 43, average of 82. So some pretty good spending for Ben Brown there, a guy that I think should be a future closer for the Cubs, not in the rotation. But he got the spot start and threw 4 innings. No runs, 1 walk, 3 Ks against Texas. They have him filling in for now with Matt Boyd out for at least a month, which is interesting. We've seen the Ben Brown starting experience, Ben, and it kind of kept me somewhat away from the situation.
Yeah, as you're talking, I'm trying to figure out the splits tool on Fangraphs to see how he does as a starter and a reliever for his career. But I'm pretty sure that Brown is much better as a reliever in his career. And in his one start, he only went 4 innings. And the Cubs have tried this before, so I had written Ben Brown down as an option for in my FAB process as someone to look for to add if I needed a starter for this past Sunday. I never put him in a bid list, and I need the starters in a couple of teams. I just don't trust the stamina. I don't think he'll be able to go deep enough into games. And when he has been a starter, he's been horrible. As far as I don't know if he has a third pitch now, because that was a big issue with Brown before, where he was like fastball slider, whatever his other pitch was. And you can do that in the bullpen, but you can't do that as a starter. Unless you're Spencer Strider at his peak. And that's very rare. So I don't know. I'm looking at it right now. Last year as a starter, Brown had a 6.30 ERA. And as a reliever, not much better, 4.99. So it hasn't really been good, period. I don't think I would have been that desperate to add Ben Brown right now. I think he had a 2-start week. He's here.
He's
at Atlanta.
That's terrifying. I wanted nothing to do with that.
He's going against Chris Sale too. So no, thank you. I think that check sailed on Ben Brown.
And Milwaukee next week, which is tough. So yeah,
I think it's a waste of FAB.
Yeah, so, okay, maybe I wasn't wrong in my thought process with that one, because I just didn't even put a bid in on Ben Brown, and I obviously could use pitching in certain spots. All right, the next most added player, we'll hit him up, and then we'll hit his teammate up, and we'll back it up here. He's not the most added after him, but we'll double dip on some Reds closing here. But we'll start with the first most added at 120 online championships, has a heck of a nickname if you're playing in the gutter, Pierce Johnson. He went as high as 129, as low as a dollar, average of $29, picked up in 59 main events, almost all 60, max of 123, low of 14, average of 52. Pierce Johnson, you know, people are thirsty with Emilio Pagan out. Johnson picked up the save on Saturday night, which went a long way in people going after him. Been rather effective this year, but I don't know. He was not at the top of my list. He was on my list, but not at the top. What are your thoughts on Pierce Johnson, especially the financials sent his direction?
So after the save, I did have Pierce Johnson at the top of my list for in terms of the Reds closers, because I did mention briefly that I have Emilio Pagan on a team that I needed a replacement for. So I was going to be targeting the Reds bullpen. Tony Santillan completely got himself wiped off the list of people I was interested in after that blow up, and he has not been good. So we mentioned Closer Monkey and Reliever Recon already. They had a blurb about the Reds situation after Saturday night. And in there, Francona mentioned that Ashcraft was going to be getting the top of the lineup regardless, and they wanted him to face Yordan, essentially, is what the goal was. So Ashcraft got 9-1-2, and I think that left Pierce Johnson for the ninth. And based on that, it seems like Ashcraft is like the high leverage guy, and as we've experienced over the years, the high leverage reliever is more often than not the one getting the saves because of how things play. It happens a lot with the Rays. It was frustrating, but even now, Brian Baker has been used recently, not in the ninth. I'm not going to say Graham Ashcraft is going to be Brian Baker, but it's that kind of usage. And then even after the Pierce Johnson save, Jewett and on Closer Monkey still had Ashcraft at the head of the committee. So I decided not – so I – it wasn't even a matter of like knowing that Pierce Johnson was going to go for more, because I didn't know what was going to happen because there's like three options for the Reds. So I ended up just lowering his bid down, and I put Graham Ashcraft back at the top. So I had maybe a bit, I think only on the team with Pagan did I have Pierce Johnson as like my option ahead of Killian or whoever it was on the Giants. Just in case I missed out on Ashcraft, then maybe I still got someone on the Reds just to be safe. But I definitely wanted Ashcraft more, and I was happy to see people paid more. Hopefully I'm right, though. I don't know. I'm just going off of people who know more about the stuff than I do, and we'll see what happens. So I don't know. It could be Johnson, but I think based on that high leverage usage, I think it could be Ashcraft more likely. I don't know. We'll see, though.
And that brings me to my next point, and I'll give my thoughts after we do this. But Graham Ashcraft was added in 74 online championships. His price was high of 47, low as a dollar. $14 average for Ashcraft. We're already talking a big financial difference from Pierce Johnson. He's picked up in 47 main events, as high as 55, low as a buck, as average of 24. So both much cheaper. It's what we're saying. And you nailed the reasons why I think Pierce will get his shots. Not denying that whatsoever. But and managers lie. Ask Dave McDonald. Very, very, very possible. Ashcraft has always had the goods to me. If you look back even last year at his bullpen numbers, outstanding. Like, he was really, really good. So I already had him in a bunch of DCs just to have him as a guy to throw when everyone's hurt type guy, not thinking this would even happen. So he was a target for mine. He was one of my most added pitchers, if not the most added pitcher I had this week. And it was not breaking the bank stuff, which is what I appreciated about it. I'm fully accepted this, and I've talked about it here, and I've talked about it with Ryan on Bubba and the Bloom. I already know that there's at least a third, if not almost half of the bullpens in baseball. I'm just happy if I can get like 60% of the saves. That's just the life. I feel like Ashcraft can get you 60 to 70% of the saves. Because I think more often than not, to that high leverage role, he's going to – I compared him to, and this might be a bad comparison and some people might get mad, but the way the Dodgers utilize Tanner Scott is how I see the Reds can utilize Graham Ashcraft, if that makes sense. Like, Scott still pitches the eighth, sometimes even an occasional seventh. But majority of the time, Scott's picked up, I think, at least two saves now since Diaz went down. That's the Ashcraft role I'm seeing, and I will pay $14 on average for that all day long right about now. So that's where my brain was at. And Johnson might get his. Johnson might get those cheapies when Ashcraft pitches the eighth, and then Johnson gets to face, you know, 6, 7, 8 or something. That's fine. But I went Graham Ashcraft the whole time.
The other thing I'll add real quick, then we can move on, Bubba, is in that quote, I'm not going to read the whole thing, obviously, but when they were interviewing Francona about the usage, he mentioned that. I'll read the one quote. He goes, "Unless it's Pagan, I don't think you can just map out a game." But so by him saying unless it's Pagan, that means that Pagan is going to get the job back. I read that as when he gets back, Pagan's going back into the role. And there's a chance based on the timeline that he's back in 4 weeks, but gone, maybe, depending on how severe the hamstring is. I don't know if they gave us a grade or not, but it was basically a month to 2 months. So it seems like a temporary add on top of that as well. So that's also why I wouldn't have wanted to go too crazy on either, on any of the options.
Yep, totally agree with you there. Like, just give me one save a week right now. Like, I don't expect everybody to be Rico Garcia. That was amazing. But, like, if we could get that, that'd be really exciting. But just give me one a week. We're cool. Like, I can live with that. All right, the next most added player in the online championships is Ezekiel Duran. Zeke Duran picked up an 101 OCs, as high as 67, low as a dollar, average of 9. Duran was picked up in 48 main events, as high as 47, as low as 14, on average 30. Duran plays everywhere, Ben. He plays, I believe it's like first base, second base, third base, outfield, or something along those lines, when I've written him up lately. He's coming in swinging well, hit safely in 7 of 8 games, hitting .310 with a homer and a steal. The plate approach looks much better this year than last year. Might just be a hot streak, and that's fine, but he's playing every day. So what's your thoughts on the Zeke Duran ad?
I did have him in a bid list as well, Duran. Yeah, he's been hitting second like every day now for the Rangers. This kind of came out of nowhere. I believe this is a result of the Josh Smith injury, if I'm not mistaken. And I think Josh Smith, I'm not sure how long he's out for, but it could be a while. And the big gain that you mentioned, the improvements Duran's made, a 10% walk rate, whereas his career high was 5.5 way back in 2022. So that's going to make a case for keeping him at the top of the lineup. The Rangers have been bad overall. A lot of people are underperforming. And this is also a little bit of the Phil Dussault tax, because Phil was like the only person who added Ezekiel Duran last week. I know Waxman added him too, but there was probably like 11 ads, and I think 8 were Phil. So, and then everyone else saw that, and I saw that too. I'm like, but it was like end of the week type deal where Duran started playing at the end of the prior week before Fab, and I think Phil saw that, and that's why he added him for cheap. But it's not a big ceiling with Duran. He's more of a 15-team league player in my mind. I don't think is the matchup particularly good for the Rangers this week. Do they have 7 games? No, they only have 3. Arizona at Houston.
More than 3.
Well, 3 in the, yeah, 3 in the first week. That's where my mind, I always assume the last 3 are there. Yeah, thanks for clarifying, Bubba.
No,
so it's Arrighetti, Tang, Lambert, Nelson, Gallen. So not the hardest of matchups at all for Duran. And yeah, I think he's going to be around, but I don't think he's that big of a 12-team ad. In the 15, yes, that's where I wanted him. But I think you could probably do better with upside in the OCs.
Yeah, on 15s, he's a must. That's why I think he's already gone in certain spots. In OCs, he'll have a streaming abilities. Like, heck, when you're talking about the schedule next week, next week, the first 3 games are in Coors Field. So, like, you're going to have some Zeke run here for a little while. And I don't hate it while he's hot, and the flexibility is tremendous while you're going about it. We don't have to talk about it, but Rico Garcia was picked up in 98 online championships, as high as 151, as low as a dollar. You don't get the 2 saves and the win, though, folks. Hate to break that one to you, but do you have anything to add on Rico? Rico's awesome, and Helsley still hasn't started throwing yet.
Oh, okay. I did not catch that. I was going to say maybe you missed the bus on Rico, but maybe not if Helsley isn't
supposed
throwing
to
yet.
Start throwing weighted balls in the next day or two to try to ramp up, but he has not started throwing yet.
Yeah, so I guess how much did he go for? Rico went for 37 in the OCs. Yeah, he's probably I doubt he was added in any main events, so not a whole lot of fab. So yeah, I think I'm fine with that.
All right, let's get to the pitching main event here. We talked about the big closers. We have a couple more to hit because it's another week that ends in Y. But pitching-wise, prospect pitching-wise, Robbie Snelling. This one is interesting. He must have been widely stashed because Robbie Snelling was picked up in only 93 online championships, as high as 331, as low as $9, average of 135. So lots of money getting spent on Robbie Snelling. He's picked up in 3 main events, as high as 237, as low as 128. He was already long gone there. He had like a mixed bag in his first start, is the way I would say it. Ben, it was some good. There was some bad, but the kid's very good. He's like one of the top pitching. He's 100% rostered in OC, so he was already stashed to that point. But what's your thoughts on Robbie Snelling? Because I think this guy should be here to stay. I say should because anything can happen, but if he is here to stay, this is one of the better ones to pick up.
Indeed. And it was annoying to see that he was, to your point, he was rostered in all my 15s, all four of them. So I couldn't even add him, which, I mean, it was good because it was one less headache to worry about, because worry about how much they've bid on Snelling, because I definitely would have. But I did have him in a lot of DC, so I was able to start him this week, so that was good. He was probably one of my favorite SP prospect pick this offseason. And the only issue really is that his walk rate was kind of high this brief season in AAA. He had a 13% walk rate, whereas he's been more around the 6, 7, 8 range. That's Snelling. 40% K rate, though, so he still had a 26.4% K minus walk, despite the 13% walk rate. So he's just been... he's been like Wild Thing down there in AAA, and he had twice as many walks as strikeouts in his first game. Maybe some jitters, but there's a little control issue there with Snelling. Hopefully it doesn't turn into what happened to Noah Schultz, where he's kind of had issues throwing the strikes. But I think you can't really say much off of one start. And I mentioned the elevated K walk rate this year. It's never been an issue before for him, really. So I think it just, maybe they tweak something with Snelling and the Marlins, and he's fine. So Robbie is deserving of being the top pitcher ad where he was available. So, and it's things I couldn't give him any fab leagues, but hopefully he can help out my DCs.
Yep. DCs, he's locked in. It sucked because I had the two fab leagues I drafted him and I had to drop him a while back because A, it looked like Braxton Garrett was going to get the call, and B, I had to. That's all. It makes sense. I needed the roster spot. So,
how weird was that Tuesday night or whatever it was when everyone's like trying to play detective on who's going to start that night? Or it was the weirdest thing. I don't know. Like, yeah, just wait and see.
Yeah, they're stalking a AAA start just to see if he started to see who's starting on Friday in Miami. Like I said on the Thursday night show, it would have been so great if Mookie Blaylock would have been called up. It just would have the whole Twitter would have been a night, one of those nights where this is what Twitter was meant for. It would have been amazing. Just pure grab your popcorn and let the feed keep updating, because it would have been pure gold on that one. So didn't have to do it. Snelling got the call. Now if Snelling gets demoted, that could get fun too, because I think we agree he should be up for a while. But again, nothing seems good. An update on Nate Eovaldi. Imaging will be done on his side. The results will determine the next steps. Bullpen game for tonight. So that's not great. Not great.
And going back to Snelling, good first matchup, or I guess second matchup. It's versus the Twins, so fire away.
I can't ask for much more there. So I like Snelling a lot. He's going to have his youth bumps in the roads, but I think overall things should go pretty well. All right, next most added in online championships, Luke Rayleigh picked up in 91 leagues, as high as 64, as low as a dollar average of 21. He was picked up in 7 main events. This is a stream. They have 7 righties for the Mariners this week. He's playing well, hitting .253, 8 homers, no steals, which he's stolen in the past, striking out a ton. So it's strictly a stream to me, unless there's something else I'm missing here, Ben.
No, well, a 2-homer game will help that, but yeah, definitely that a stream play.
Do wonders, yeah.
Yeah, 7 RBIs versus the White Sox, and he platoon, so he should probably be dropped after this week in OCs, but definitely a good ad for the week.
All right. Some podcasts, you know, they might just go down the top, you know, names to discuss. No, we just do it the backwards way. We go down numbers. Bryce Eldridge will be at the top of most shows. Just going to throw that out there right after your Snellings and Spencer Joneses of the world. But Bryce Eldridge falls down here because he's only added in 87 OCs because he's widely rostered already. For a high of 129, low as a dollar. Thank you, OCs. Average of 47. He was picked up in 36 main events, as high as 191, as low as $13. Average of 61. I'm a very sarcastic person, Ben. I keep a lot of my... I've grown up. I've told you guys. I keep a lot of my opinions to myself on things. When I read and hear, why isn't Bryce Eldridge playing? I really want to know what people are looking at. So I'm just going to leave it at that and give you the floor, Ben. Very popular ad. Love the skills. That's where I'll leave it. So what's your thoughts on Bryce Eldridge?
Well, looking at his profile, the more I look at it, he seems like Spencer Jones, but without the speed.
That's a great comp essentially, already.
Yep. What was that?
It's a great comp already. You're halfway there. Yep.
Yeah. And then Jones has the speed, also has a position, because at least in NFBC, Eldridge is only util only. And I doubt he'll play first base anytime soon. And there's concerns with the playing time too, because let me pull up the Giants depth chart. They have Arias at second, Casey Schmidt's ripping the cover off the ball. He's the DH. Devers at first. Adamas at short. Chapman at third. So just based off of, well, he's been DHing lately, Eldridge, and I think they've been moving Schmidt around a little bit because he can play multiple positions. Over the last six games, the Giants have faced six righties, and Eldridge has started four of them, but he sat two of the last three. And maybe that's why people were a little more off on Eldridge, because he wasn't added in every league based on the numbers. But I didn't even put a bid in for him. I have one league that has Yordan, so I can't. Yordan's on the cusp of getting outfield, but I'm not going to add a second util only guy until that happens. And the K rate's 29% in the minors. It's 31 through the well. I'm not going to mention what it is right now through five games. There's no point in that. But he's been like 35 in the past. Eldridge, well, that was one stop in the majors. So when he got called up last year, he's 35% strikeout rate. Did walk at 19% of the time, but it's been like 27, 30, 29 for his K rates in the past. But the swing strike isn't as bad as Jones's. So if he can just, he's not like swinging 20%. He's not missing 20% of the time like Jones's, Eldridge, but still a little, the K's ultimately are still too high. So he's got to fix that. And I don't know, it's just tight. So I was never going to spend a ton of money on him because there's not a clear opening in San Francisco. I know they've been struggling. They're trying to shake things up, but I think that he needs a clear path to playing time before I'd be interested in the, there's still the skills issues too. So I would not have been a top bidder for Eldridge at all.
All right. So the positive I'll give here is he DH'd, he started at DH every game. He got in two games at first base for a total of three innings, and NFBC just cares that you got in. They don't care that you started there. So that's a plus. He might get there, because I'm with you. I didn't think he'd ever get the first base, but if they sneak him in an inning here and there, he might get to 10 games before things are all said and done. But the stuff I continuously, I heard it all weekend, heard it today. People are wondering why he's not starting every game, even versus right-handed pitching. And it's the logjam that has been discussed this entire time. Like, there's no room at the end for all four of them. And until Casey Schmidt goes to the outfield, hopefully that's the answer. They're not going to sit Chapman as much as they should. They just won't. Schmidt has earned every right to play every game. And Devers isn't going anywhere. So you got this just gigantic mess. Plus Arise is out there. It's a disaster for Eldridge to get a shot. And that's why I was shocked when they called him up, not disagreeing with. They needed a boost, but there's no room at the end for him to play every day. And I haven't seen a Giants lineup yet for Monday night, but they got Roque Sasaki on the mound. He sat Eldridge shot on Sunday. You hope he starts today, but we'll see on that one. So that's my biggest concern. I think the kid's good. I think he's really good. But the playing time was a massive concern for me on this one. All right. Peter Lambert picked up an 86 online championships, as high as 75, as low as a dollar, average of 21. He was already owned in all main event leagues. Lambert shoved against the Dodgers after myself and others probably got rid of him or benched him. So you got that going for you. And then after some pitching tweaking on Sunday, where Kaiwei Tang got the start on Sunday, Peter Lambert now got a two-step this week, and it was a juicy one, Ben. He gets the Seattle Mariners, who are scuffling. I think it's a Texas Ranger team that scuffling might be a nice way to put it. So two really good matchups for Peter Lambert on top of a really good performance in LA, or against the Dodgers, I should say. What were your thoughts on this? Again, already gone in all 15s.
Yeah, I was worried about Peter Lambert like 3 weeks ago, but I'll quickly mention, yeah, as you mentioned, the two-step, that's probably why he was added in the OCs. People saw the Dodgers performance, like you said, but I pulled up that his game log for that. He had four Ks and four walks.
Yeah, it wasn't great.
No, and then I was high on Lambert after like his first start because of his swing strike rate. It was, I think, like 17% after two starts. So I pulled up this morning what I do when I set my lineups for my pitchers. I pull up recent underlying metrics. I did last 3 weeks again. Lamberts are not good. He has a 7.2 K minus walk over the last 3 weeks. That's because of a 14% ball rate or a walk rate, excuse me. So, and he's gotten lucky with a 182 BABIP and an 89% left on base. His swing strike over the last 3 weeks, Lambert is less than 9%, 8.6%. His SIER is 4.9, xFIP 4.58. The only thing that's good is his xERA is 2.86, but everything else is horrible. So the skills he showed in those first two starts when I was interested in Lambert have gone away, it looks like. So this could be a disaster. I'm not going to say it's like a gomber, but it could be ugly if he continues to walk all these batters and doesn't miss bats like Lambert has been doing the last 3 weeks. So definitely everyone missed the good times, and I could be ugly this week.
Yeah, because I dropped him a couple weeks ago before the Dodgers start, and like I had bids in to try to pick him back up. I think I got him in like one spot, but I dropped him because I knew things weren't great. Let's put it that way. Like it was not great indeed. A couple more here. It was asked by PJ. He was asked if we were going to talk about Ryan Jefferson and the Kirby Yates situation. And sure enough, we will, because Ryan Zephyrjian was picked up in 82 online championships, been as high as 48, as low as a buck, average of 17. So he's coming in around that Graham Ashcraft range. Zephyrjian was also added in 35 main events, as high as 67, as low as 12, average of 35. Zephyrjian got the save last week, just got an inning, two Ks on Sunday, so because the Angels don't give a lot of save chances, to be honest. But it was the first save for a pitcher not named Jordan Romano for the Angels. So he's got that going for him. Kirby Yates has no velocity. Ben Joyce is nowhere to be found in his rehab appearances right now. So Zephyrjian seemed great, and it was really, it's interesting to see the pricing very similar to Graham Ashcraft, to be totally honest, because I feel like those are the top two to go for this weekend where available. You were on Zephyrjian last week, Ben. So what are your thoughts as we talk about him now this week?
Glad you remember, Bubba. I got that save in my lineup, so I felt good. Beat the rush. Zephyrjian, so I will say, he was an option that I had drafted in DCs last year as a closer spec for the Angels. I forget who they had at the time, but he ended up getting a shot. He had two saves last year and didn't really go too well. But this year, he has pretty good skills, a lot of strikeouts. He's got a 31% K rate. A not so good 12.6 walk rate, but because the K's are so high, his K minus walk is 18.4%. So Zephyrjian could kind of get by with that. Been unlucky with the left on base, 56%. So his ERA is a little elevated because of that. It's 4.35. His estimators are a 1.98 xERA, a 2.53 FIP, a 3.83 xFIP. That's because he hasn't allowed a home run yet. That's why the xFIP is so high. But probably the best skilled Angels reliever, I'll say closer monkey, and I'm by extension roster reliever recon, excuse me, has him as the Angels closer. They don't even have a committee tagged on him right now, so that's saying a lot. Yates came back, but I don't know what's going to happen with him, and then it's messy. So I had Zephyrjian in that one main where I needed saves. The other one in the, I think it was the listener league, actually no, it was the league where I lost Pagan. He was available. I think I preferred the Reds guys because I was planning on keeping Pagan, whereas I don't know if Zephyrjian is going to keep the role for the entire year because of how the Angels have been so far, and he's not that proven, but he deserved to be in the Ashcraft, and I don't know who else we mentioned. I prefer him over Killian for sure. I prefer him over Garcia. Well, Garcia has better skills. I just don't know how long he'll be at. I guess they both have the uncertain timeline, Garcia and Zephyrjian, because of the injuries, or it's not even an injury with the Angels. It's just like that they're not as bad as the Giants or the Marlins. It's just not very certain there yet. But I think Zephyrjian was one of the better ads this week, and hopefully he keeps it going because I do have that one share. So it'd be nice to get some more saves.
Yeah, I had Ashcraft and Zephyrjian kind of 1A, 1B for me this week, looking at relievers. So it was good to see them priced accordingly, and I agree. Like, Ashcraft's maybe it's a 4 to 6 week thing, and you know, might share, or Zephyrjian, he could run away with it unless he struggles. Like, I don't know why they wouldn't give him more chances besides being the Angels, which it's a big if. All right, I'm gonna switch to the main event, Ben, if you're ready to roll that direction.
Sounds good to me.
All right, so we've talked about J-Rod, Pierce Johnson, Ryan Waldschmidt, Joe Maxx, Spencer Jones. Those are the top five most added players in main events. Next up, Zach Cole of the Houston Astros, picked up in 52 main events, as high as 38, as low as $6, an average of 21. He was only picked up in, that's Cole Sulcer. He was only picked up in, there's so many Coles. Good God. 28 OCs, as high as 33, as low as $1, average of 9. So much more popular in the main event world. I loved him this week because they get 7 righties for the Houston Astros. Zach Cole returned from the IL. He's in Monday's lineup, which makes 5 out of 6 starts, Ben. Guy's got 2 homers, all hitting 267. A lot of hype in the preseason about him being a regular in this outfield before he got hurt. So I was kind of jumping back on board here. I had him like over Luke Raley and company. maybe I'm wrong, but what was your thoughts when you looked at Zach Cole this week, who is widely available in 15s?
Without looking at my list, I think I had him for like $6 in the one where I needed an outfielder. Yeah, he has a great schedule, but I think he has worse strikeout issues than Eldridge and Spencer Jones. When he was up in the majors last year, Zach Cole had a 38.5% K rate, and he had seasons of like 37.7 in 2024 in the minors. That's in Double A. That was his K rate, 37.7%. In Double A in 2025, it was 36%. For the year in 2025, it was 35.1%. So he's pretty low up because he had 19 homers, 18 steals in 2025 in the minors. But Cole just strikes out way more than the other guys. And because of that, I knew he had strikeout issues. I didn't really look too far into him. The Astros pop because of their schedule for streaming left-handed hitters. But it was just a stream for me, even in a 15. And I think I forget who I got over him instead of Cole, but I'm fine with that win. And I'm not upset that I lost that on him. Sure, he could get lucky, but they are facing the Mariners, who have pretty good pitchers. It's Kirby, Wu, Miller, and Castillo. Miller and Castillo are questionable. And then he gets DeGrom. It was supposed to be Evaldi, so that kind of played into it as well. Jack Leiters, who they face on Friday versus the Rangers. So even though it's all righties, it's not the easiest schedule of righties. And I think Ryan even said that on your preview, that how like the K-minus walk for the Astros, their opposing pitchers like 20%, which is elite. So, and that does not bode well for a guy who strikes out as much as Zach Cole does. So I heard some people talking him up, and I think it's another trap. So I'm just going to watch on the sidelines and see when he goes 0-for-15 with 8 strikeouts.
Well, I rostered him a lot this week, so we're going to see.
Well, hopefully for you, Bubba, he goes much better than that.
Hey, can't win them all. Can't win them all, but. Yeah. I was just thinking he's more of a long-term play. Like he actually plays versus lefties than like a Luke Rayleigh or somebody like that. So here's where my conundrum came from. Cause one of the players that I dropped for him is in a strict platoon. I picked up Zach Cole and dropped MJ Melendez.
I remember saying that Melendez had pretty bad skills too when we looked at him that one week.
Yeah, he was strictly playing versus right-handed pitching. It was, and they had a 3-lefty, 3-righty week this week.
That makes sense. I'll write off on that one.
But yeah, I agree. The skills are scary. Skills are scary. Young. That's my argument. Young. Let's hope there's improvements there. all right. Next up in the main events, 51 ads this week in the main events. Griffin Canning. Griffin Canning picked up in 51 leagues, as high as 59, as low as a dollar, average of 23. Griffin Canning was picked up in 26 online championships, as high as 57, as low as a dollar, average of 12. Looked great in his debut. Last week, 8 days ago, last Sunday, 2 Sundays, 5 innings, 1 run, 7 Ks. Things look good. Not many picked him up. But then this past week, 4 1/3, 6 runs, 2 walks, 5 Ks. So the Ks are still there. It shouldn't have been 6 earned runs. Tatis misplayed a ball for an inside the park, literally grand slam. That was kind of BS on that one. I think it was like Castellanos. It's an error and no earned runs. But with Tatis, we don't do that at home type situation. What were your thoughts? Canning was one of the most added starting pitchers this week.
Yeah, I wasn't surprised to see that. I had one of my teams, I had a very short string of ads for Bailey Ober, and Griffin Canning was one of the three pitchers I was willing to add to drop Ober. But with that said, and I'll give some more good things. So his swing strike rate so far, Canning's is 14.1% in the two starts. K rate's 29%. The walk rate's pretty high, 12.2%. But the K-minus walk is still pretty good because of the K rate. The XFIP and the Sierra are mid threes so far in those two starts, so that's really good. The XERA is really good as well. The ball rate is supporting the walk rate. The ball rate for Canning is 42% in his two starts, not very good. And then I looked at his player page and just like the career numbers, and he's never really been good. His lowest WHIP is 1.24 for a year. No, excuse me, 1.22. He's at a 137, a 148, a 140, a 138 this year so far through two starts. It's even 1.61. So he's just a bad pitcher, ultimately. Like he'll show spurts where he missed some bats, but Canning never like sustains that. So I'm okay that I didn't get him, ultimately. We'll go through our ads, of course, but I think Canning's just another desperation play that will probably go bad, just like it did on Sunday. Even though it wasn't all his fault, you mentioned the Tatis misplay. but he still had a 12 ERA and a two whip in that game. So it's he could be dropped right away next week, I think.
It could be interesting to see how that plays out. For those watching live, Bryce Eldridge is not in the lineup on Monday evening. Just throwing that one out to you.
It's two in a row.
Yep. So just don't four. Be surprised. You just hope you get four games a week is where I'd be right about now. All right. The next one. This one is interesting because I guarantee you the 12-teamers didn't know much about this one. And that is one Ty Madden of the Detroit Tigers added in 46 main events, Ben. Ty Madden was as high as 53, as low as a dollar, average of 21. Added in 33 OCs, so better than I expected here. As high as 33, as low as $2, $11 on average. Madden has made two appearances after openers, combining for 11 innings, 3 earned runs, 2 walks, and 12 Ks, which is outstanding. You can run with that. Right now he's projected to join the rotation with injuries in Detroit. Again, we'll see how long that lasts for, but gets Toronto this week, potentially Cleveland next week. This one was one that I had him on waterfalls, but I wasn't super in on him. The more we talk about things, maybe I should have been, Ben. So what are your thoughts when you see Ty Madden here? Because I guess maybe playing time consistency was – I didn't know where it was going to come from once – if guys get healthy, I should say.
Yeah, so just I get a sneak preview of FAB results. I got him in two leagues, two out of my four FAB leagues. Beautiful. And yeah, you mentioned the matchup this week. I think you did. I think I cut out there for a minute when you were talking. It's versus the Blue Jays, and they've been struggling. Roster Resource has four starters right now for the Tigers. Ty Madden would be the fifth coming out of or following an opener, of course, which is also pretty good for wins. So, yeah, and the skills look good for him. He has a – where is it? He has a 24% K-minus walk, only a 4.9% walk rate. So, and that's a small sample, but pretty good numbers. He's gotten lucky with the average. His BABIP's 192, but the estimators are all in line with his ERA through the two appearances for him, all low to mid twos. He's got a 2.45 ERA on the surface. The swing strike rate's also pretty good for him as well, 11.9%, so basically 12% for Ty Madden. That's fine as a starter. So it's just I got him for cheap, and I think he could stick because of how injured the Tigers are. Looking at, let me pull up their team again. They have over a rotation on the IL right now. It's bad. So I'm not sure. It's a temporary ad for sure, but if you get him for cheap, I think it's worth the upside. See what happens. So hopefully, I definitely started Madden in at least one of my two leagues, but optimistic. Much rather have him than Canning.
Yeah, I liked what I just saw looking deeper into him for a second there than listening to you talk about him. Definitely gonna have to put him on the list. I'm gonna have to pay more, obviously, if he's still
available. He does well in our leagues.
Yeah. So, but you know how it is in these 15s. Even if he does just mediocre, I'm willing to take a shot for cheap because
pitching is so
hard to find right now. It's even if I don't start him this week, the next guy we're gonna talk about, same thing. Like, you don't have to start him every week. Right now, I almost just want pitching to have options. I think I could be mistaken, and I know he can slide into the DMs if I got this wrong, but our buddy Greg Martin, he was on a show recently on Zach's pod, and he was talking about, like, on his bench, he was running like 5 or 6 starting pitchers on his bench just so he could always rotate like matchups and everything. And I'm not that far yet. I still have usually 3 hitters on my bench, but there are certain teams where my pitching's that bad that I'm debating it just to have those options available week to week, where it's so hard to drop certain players, but you don't want to use them every week type situation. So a Ty Madden, for instance, could come into play there and be quite valuable. All right, next most added player on the main events. We'll only do a couple more here, and then we'll head to our ad and drops of the week. But wanted to hit on Giants. Trevor McDonald picked up in 45 main events, as high as $61, as low as $2, average of 24. Picked up in 72 OCs, as high as 71, as low as a dollar, average of 17. Trevor McDonald gets a two-step at the Dodgers and at the A's in Sacramento this week. I wanted nothing to do with that as he fills in for Logan Webb, but does get the White Sox next week. Webb isn't supposed to be out long. We'll have to kind of see how that plays out with his knee deal. And McDonald looked great in his one start against the Padres, and he's been really good. Like, he's going to have an impact this year. So I love Trevor McDonald. I wanted nothing to do with him for this two starts this week, Ben.
Agree. I kind of missed that he was back in the rotation till late. I think I saw his first start, then I looked him up, and then I saw that it was a at the time like a spot start, but now yeah, it's just a horrible two star for McDonald. If I would not be comfortable starting him if I did add him in all those in one of those leagues because of the Dodgers and the A's, especially in Sacramento. So I'm not going to say it's as risky as the Peter Lambert two step, but it has grounds for being like that. So hopefully he comes through a little unscathed, McDonald. And but to your point, if Webb's not out for long, then he could be dropped relatively quickly, McDonald.
All right. Anybody else you'd like to discuss? I guess here's one name we should actually probably hit on that I didn't get to, but let's talk about Griffin Jacks real quick, because Griffin Jacks was picked up in 24 mains, as high as 91, as low as 13, average of 38. He's picked up an 81 OC, he's been as high as 40, as low as a buck, average of 15. Griffin Jacks is getting stretched out to join the rotation. You know, the whole closing thing didn't go so well for those keeping track at home. Griffin Jacks has now made three starts, got up to four innings this last time, has allowed two total runs, striking out seven while walking three. So looks good, not, you know, anything flashy, but looks good. And looks like they're really going to keep him in the rotation is the most important part. Gets Toronto this week, Baltimore next week. What are your thoughts on this Griffin Jacks thing? Like, I was interested in taking a shot just for the reasons we mentioned with Madden and McDonald, that a guy with a pulse is valuable right now.
I viewed him identically to how I viewed Ben Brown. Jacks was a former starter, which I didn't know about him at the time. Looking back, it was way back in 2021. Twins, he had made 14 starts. Not sure how many games it was, but he had a 6.37 ERA and a 1.35 WHIP. Significantly fewer Ks and innings that year. So I he threw four innings his first appearance, Jacks, which I guess you can't really argue with if he's getting stretched out. It's gonna take some time, but I'd rather just gamble on someone different or hold someone who I think has some potential. I didn't want to mess with this because I don't always trust the reliever to starter transitions that much.
Yep, totally agree with you on that one. So, like, I agree with your transition, concerns there. I like him more than Ben Brown out of the two. To be told, like, Ben Brown's just – he's a really good reliever to me. He's the starting thing we've seen time and time again. At least with Jacks, it's been forever since we've seen it. So maybe he's figured it out. And I'll trust Tampa over Chicago to figure things out at the same time in that grand scheme of things. Any other players you'd like to discuss before we do our ad drops for the week?
Right below Griffin Jacks, I heard him on a pod today. What about Grayson Rodriguez? I did not look at him anywhere.
Yes, I love this. I had him way down waterfalls. And to those wondering, we're talking about G-Rod, Grayson Rodriguez of the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. He's picked up in 24 main events, as high as 38, as low as a dollar, average of 19. He's picked up in 15 OCs, average of 6, high of 21. Grayson Rodriguez on Sunday threw 4 2/3 at single A, 11 Ks, I believe, and 2 walks. Got the 94 pitches. The reports that I saw Sunday night that I put in the news and notes, it was after Fab, but it was in the news and notes that Grayson's next start might be with the Angels this week, which to me, these people that jumped on it early, worth every penny to see what happens. Because I think we can all agree, or at least most of us can agree, G-Rod is a great pitcher. Whenever he's been healthy, he's been a very good fantasy pitcher. Great might be too much, but he's been a very good fantasy pitcher. He just always hurt. But if you can get him for cheap a week early like this, because if he goes and deals this week, that price might mimic like the Snellings of the world, just because people have the expectations. There's still G-Rod's still so young, people have high expectations for him. I would never bid that much because I'm waiting for the arm to fall off again, unfortunately. But if I could have gone in a week early, I kind of wish I would have.
Yeah, I did miss the news, I think, going into Fab. But at the same time, it's single A. I hope he strikes out 11 guys. So who knows how that'll translate. But it is worth a shot because looking at Ryan's tracker, he averaged $19, Grayson, only a max of 38. And the way pitching is, I guess, as like an 11th starter spec, I don't see why not. But I have very little confidence that he'll be able to hold up, Grayson.
That's the thing. That's why, like, if it's a cheap buy, I mean, like, I just can't stomach spending like triple digits on him just waiting for it to fall apart. So,
and it's the Angels, and they can't do anything with starters. So I don't know.
Hey, and while you're listening to this, folks, the Angels are playing in Cleveland. Suter opened the game. Manoah's coming in after him, folks. You got Manoah and G-Rod back in the rotation this week. So, yeah, good times all around. All right, Ben, let's talk ad drops for the week. I'll give you the floor whenever you are ready.
All right, let me get to a Fab League.
Perfect.
All right, first up, like usual, is the Listener League auction. Here I got Graham Ashcraft, dropped Merrill Kelly 28-5. And that was my only move of the week. So Graham, he's my RP3 spec because I believe I have Lats there, if I'm not mistaken. So I just, he seems like the closer Lats, but I just don't really trust it that much yet. And then New Jersey main event, I got Ashcraft again, 24-19. So a little bit closer of a bid. I dropped Jacob Junis finally. He was someone who I couldn't. I wasn't able to drop him last week, Junis. I didn't make a big enough list. But now I got Ashcraft there. And this is the main where I have Zephyr John. So I have Bednar, Zephyr John, and Ashcraft. So hopefully I have closer covered for a little bit, knock on wood. Then I also added in New Jersey main, Ty Madden dropped Lance McCullers finally, 16-1. Added Zach McKinstry, dropped Andre Payante, 6-0. And I got Josh Bell, dropped Carlos Correa, 4-0. So that was my most active main event of the week. I also have very little money left, so I have to have pretty low bids here on out there. The hybrid main, this is where I got Jesus Rodriguez. I dropped Miguel Amaya, 44-41. So that was like the highlight of this fab. I had a couple upsetting at the time losses, but I'm not as upset about the ones I didn't get at this point now. One was I lost Vientos 59-58. I was a runner-up trying to get Vientos back there, so that one stung in the moment. But then, so besides J-Rod, I added Ty Madden again, dropped Bailey Ober, 24-8. I know Bailey Ober had the two-step, but it could just go pretty awfully. Yeah. So I didn't want to risk that for this main event, which has been doing so well. I added, this was a little annoying, but I have a little more optimism, I guess, than other people. I got Zach McKinstry again, dropped Brenton Doyle finally, and that was 18-0. McKinstry had, I was just talking to you and Ryan, he went 12-19 last year and almost a full season McKinstry. Glaber's out. They loved McKinstry last year. If he can play full-time while Glaber's out and then kind of stick around. Even if I have to drop McKinstry eventually, $18, I think he's worthy of an ad, and he has great coverage, which is what I needed because I have Yord on in this league, and I'm holding the Goose. So I have limited flexibility. It's not awful, but having McKinstry is very helpful on this team. And then the third main and last one, Ashcraft again, 48-12, dropped Noah Cameron. This is the league where I had Emilio Pagan, so I was a little more aggressive getting Ashcraft here. And that was the only ad again. So between 1-4 ads across the four teams.
Team Ashcraft is what I gained out of all of that. We're Team Ashcraft in these parts.
Yeah, it was three ads eventually. I didn't realize that.
Yep. We're going to hear more here in a second. So my Vegas 12 team kind of listener league, Zach Geloff dropped Hassan Kim 44-24. Kim kept the job. He's just been very inconsistent. And I've realized I have a ton of middle infielders, and heck, Zach Geloff has middle infield eligibility. Graham Ashcraft, this is the tough one. I was texting you. I finally dropped Jeff Hoffman. It's a 12 teamer. Don't love it. I think he's picked well, but I also think Louis Varland is ridiculous right now.
He's been lights out.
Yeah, so Ashcraft, 14, runner-up of 10, so I like that. And then this is where I did. I grabbed Pete Lambert back for the week, dropped Kumar Rocker 9-0, just played Lambert for his two-step and likely move on that one. My Vegas AC picked up Zach Cole, dropped MJ Melendez 29-16, grabbed Graham Ashcraft, dropped Jack Kalanowicz. This one surprised me. That's like maybe second-guess things, Ben. I got him for $17 with a runner-up of 2.
Who's that again? You added
Ashcraft 17-2. That was
it's only $15.
No, but it was just surprising. I expected a higher bid, is where I was going. Very surprising. A lot of cheap bids, a lot of non backup bids down below in that one. So we're starting to get to those days. My OLAC, I got Graham Ashcraft. Stop me if you've heard this before. dropped Brad Keller 17-8. I picked up Jake McCarthy for the week, dropped Tyler Phillips 9-0. Picked up Daniel Susak, dropped the Goose 5-0. Obviously, Susak was third down my list at catching options this week, but J-Rod went for 46, and the return of the Mac went for 13. I was the runner-up of 12 on that one, so just missed out on some J-Mac. Love in the Bloom Listener League. Zach Geloff dropped Vaughn Grissom 46-31. Grissom's going to play a ton this week again. Had a ton of middle infield, plus Geloff gives me that. And I like Geloff more. Added Zach Cole, dropped Ha-Sung Kim 22-1. So I was very high on Cole. No one else was. Got Joe Mack, dropped the Goose 14-13 on that one. All right, my OC picked up Geloff, dropped Kim 46-25. Picked up a Jake McCarthy stream. Oh, I did get to drop this guy. I raised my bid because I needed to get outfield replacements badly. So I got Jake McCarthy. I dropped Matt Chapman in this league, folks, 17-4. If it was a 15, I would not do this. In a 12, we are drop. I am okay dropping Matt Chapman. Mike Kirlin reached out and said he's totally okay dropping Matt Chapman. Matt Chapman's hitting 235 with one home run, no steals, 23% K rate. Just across the board, it's dreadful what he's doing at the plate right now. And if you're looking for like a ray of sunshine, it's a 5% barrel rate, a 32% hard hit rate. It's just, there's not a whole lot of positive vibes going in that direction. Things could change, but in a 12, I'm out. And then I added Justin Crawford, dropped MJ Melendez 13-4. So I bid heavy, but I really, really wanted to get these guys in an OCs. I know I can get dollar players later without a concern in the world. And then that does it. Yeah, we don't do BARF and TGFBI on this. Why would we do that? All right. We got some listener questions, though, before we head out of here. Ben, we'll start with the ones in the YouTube chat here. Frank says, would you claim Michael Walker off waivers dropping Noah Schultz in a quality starts league?
The quality start makes a big difference.
It changes it a bit.
Yeah, it really does.
I probably would have Walker over Schultz in a quality starts league.
Yeah. If it's a 12, maybe it makes more sense. But also, Walker has more valuable in a deeper league, too, than he does in a shower league. His K rate Schultz is so bad. It feels ugly saying yes to that. I do roster both of them. Bubba says yes. I'm 50-50, so I guess it's a yes. Take what's his face? Not Schultz, the other one. Walker. Yeah.
Frank also asked, do you drop Elliot Ramos for Ryan Walshman in OPS league? I want to say yes. Ramos is hitting better over the last couple of weeks. I'll go there. If Waldschmidt lives up to the hype, which is a big if with these prospects, then it's an easy yes for me. But Ramos has actually been pretty decent of late. I don't know what you got on this one, Ben.
The only difference I can see is really if you need steals or not, because it seems like Waldschmidt will get you steals.
Yep.
4 homers, 17 runs, 18 RBIs isn't horrible for Ramos. He's got two. Well, I don't know if OPS is replacing average or is an addition to average, because his average is 272, so that's pretty good for Ramos. Hopefully, if somebody better, you get drop. I don't know. I would probably hold on to Ramos.
Yep. It's kind of where I'm at. PJ asked, he knows the answer now, but is Ha-Sung Kim back to the bench with Mookie back? I was going to tell him no, but like Kim's in the lineup tonight. It came out later in the show. I was going to say no just because they sent Alex Freeland back to AAA, which means Kim was sliding over to second in my mind. Frank asks, Bubba, I traded Josh Jung for Yvonne Herrera. Do I get your blessing? That's a catcher thing. I like them both, though. Josh Jung's been awesome. But, yes, Yvonne Herrera is just awesome. There's no denying that whatsoever. And then I know we had more down. Here we go. Michael Chiasco says, which skills do you prefer to go with when comparing pitchers?
K-minus walk's a big one. Yep. Swing strike rate, those are probably the two biggest that I use. I like the ERA estimators a lot, too. I think they have some value. And I have some others that I look at, but I feel like those two and then the estimators are the big ones that I'll go off of.
Yeah, I went like out the gate. Those are the two I'd like to go with. Estimators work. Like if you want to get deeper, like the BABIPs of the world, like are they getting unlucky? Are they a ground ball pitcher? That's something I'm curious about. Little things like that.
Yep.
Yeah. So, but primarily, like my first one every single time is K to walk. Like we do that here. Ryan talks about it all. Like that's the first one every single time that I will look at when it comes to a pitcher analysis. And then LFG says, Jesus Lazardo was dropped in my OC. Any guess how much it will take to get him on Sunday? Good God, someone had a rage drop right there. I know Lazardo's been rough, but what? Like, isn't there a can't cut list out there, I've been told?
I think he's just outside the range just of that.
Outside
thing.
The range. Holy crap. That's like a game changing situation. That's gotta be 300 plus, no?
Yeah, I was gonna say 300 plus. I could see him going for 400.
Easily. Like, this is,
especially in an OC.
Like, again, I know it's been ugly of late, but if he even gets close to what we can see from Jesus Lizardo, like, this is an ace. An absolute unbelievable. That's insane to me. So, yeah. Wow. Yeah.
He's pitching the best ever pitched, despite the ERA. It's the best his underlying numbers have looked in his career.
Yeah, that's wild. Yeah, PJ said it's strategic, trying to draw out the $500. Yeah, you're going to drain someone's fab budget, but you might also give them an absolute unit to bring to the mound. Bold strategy. Bold strategy. I'd say minimum three. It might be closer to – it's probably between $400 and $500. Like, that's going to be nuts. I can't wait to see that next week, Ben, when we recap fab. How much did Jesus Lizardo go for in an OC? Holy crap. All right, some questions from the Discord here. Mailman Mike says, curious to how you guys approach your 7 reserve slots in your auction leagues. Seems like you stash the stash approach is hit or miss, and you're probably better off with bench streamers to maximize at bat stains. Yeah, I have 3 hitters, 4 pitchers. For the most part, I'm not doing a ton of stashing yet. Maybe one, but with injuries, Ben, like, okay, injury stash potentially, but I'm looking to get guys that can play for me.
Yeah, right now I have 3 hitters and 4 pitchers and 1 main. Well, starting the year versus in-season is a completely different story. So going into the season, I want it to be 2 hitters, 5 pitchers. Hopefully my utility and my 2 bench spots cover a backup at corner, middle, and outfield. And then 5 starters, hopefully, coming out of the draft. And then once the season starts, all bets are off. My other main has 3 hitters, 4 pitchers. So still leaning towards pitcher heavy. This one has 3 and 4 as well. But this main actually has 3 stashes. It has Jeremy Pena. You might shake your head at this, Bubba. Jeremy Pena, Scooble, and Pagan. Wow. But my pitching has been really good here despite losing Scooble. So it's not like I have to filter through starters. This is the one where so I have Ashcraft and Kenley here now. And hopefully Pena's back, but I feel like I could afford to hold. So I definitely, when it comes to stashes, I'll hold my own injuries, but I'm not going to look to add guys that are injured necessarily. I've kind of stopped doing that because it's burned me in the past.
Yeah. Adding the injured guy. I rarely do that anymore. I'm with you there. I'm just like I said it throughout the show. We're talking like, you know, some of these different bottom, like the Jaxes of the world, the Madden and those guys, like, I'd be willing to get them for cheap just to see type thing instead of stashing a guy we're waiting on, if that makes sense.
It depends on how your team is doing as well, too. Like, if you're first by a lot, you can hold more injuries.
Yep, stashes. Ben, that's Ben's humble brag of saying, while he's holding Tarik Skubal, Emilio Pagan. I'm just kidding. Things are good.
It's okay. I'm not going to say it's like dominating, but
it's surviving, treading water. Yeah. John Wilder says, how do I get out of the cheap mindset when it comes to fab? I keep missing on my targets and it's really not close. I have a bunch of money left now, but it's going to be pointless as the price drops in the second half of the year. I'll start with this one, man, because this has been a problem for me for years and it's so far not happened. It happened like early in the season and just the AC, and I fixed that for now, but it hasn't happened in any other league. I'm willing to miss like most of my gale offs. I missed by like $20 and I'm fine with that. I'm fine knowing that, know the player pool, get your cheap guys later, because as John mentioned, prices drop in the second half, so it's pointless to have that much money. Like, I don't want to go crazy, but I also know that, hey, I can be a little more aggressive this time of year because it will balance out as the season goes along. It's not easy, John. Like, I'm not even giving you a hard time. Like, that was my biggest problem the last couple seasons. I keep telling myself to change, and I didn't. Knock on wood, it has changed this year, and it comes down to one thing Ben has said over and over again is be careful, or be okay, you're comfortable spending what you're willing to spend. And I'm willing to spend X amount of money. And like I said in that one OC, I was willing to spend $17 and $13 on 2 outfielders that easily wouldn't have cost that much, but I wanted them on my roster no matter what. So I went and got them. That's kind of the philosophy. It's not always like Ben likes to, Ben's a little, at least, okay, I'll let Ben speak, but from when we talk, seems like he's more strategic in his bidding and more tight in the price ranges, where I'm just still a little more like free flowing with the way I go about it.
Yeah. I don't go crazy though either, but yeah, I have like a set range a lot of the times, and yeah, I don't know, takes reps. Also, John, though, just look at Ryan's look at the tracker, and in this, you can see how it goes up and then it starts going down. So you have to, you're gonna have to spend more early on, whether it's just better players or just inflation because everyone has money. Because a closer spec in April or May will not be valued the same way it is in August and September. It's just how it is.
Exactly. And then I believe we got one more question for us here. Adam W says, are you happy getting a more expensive guy? It was an efficient bid 50 to 45, let's say, or a cheaper one, less efficient 25 to 5. So are you happier if it's a more expensive bid, but it was close, or if it was a cheap one that wasn't that close? Which one are you happier getting, I guess? I'm just happy getting the guy.
Yeah, ultimately happy with the guy, but I feel like if it's the efficient and more expensive, I think.
I'm there too, because that means I went up high enough without breaking the bank. I'm good with that. So yeah. Agreed. Full agree. All right, we'll wrap it up there, Ben. Any final thoughts? Week 8 fab in the books. Week 9 is already, there's two games going on. Your boys are playing. It's the first inning in Baltimore. So we're going to get you out of here to go watch the Yanks play. But anything else worth discussing for you?
I'll say the spending is still there. No, it doesn't really seem like it's slowing down yet. It's going to have to eventually, but people are not letting off the pedal just yet.
Yeah, we're at 8 weeks out of 27, and we're almost about, on average, people are halfway through their budget already. So, yes, spending has to stop our slowdown by the luck of it all. But we'll keep you guys updated next week and the weeks to come on your fab process. And every week it feels like it's going to slow down, but there's three prospects and four injuries and three bullpen situations. It feels like that we get to discuss each and every week, and that's why Fab has been crazier this year. Maybe it slows down, maybe it doesn't, but we'll have you guys covered next week. But until then, check out Ben on Twitter at @BreakingBen_T. I'm @BDentric. This was Benched with Bubba, episode 852. Catch y'all next time.